and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, it's been a busy week for the club with two games to look back on. We also preview the massive game on Saturday against Clyde, and we'll get your thoughts on the past 7 days. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, yes. Full of the joys of spring back to work, so yeah, you can imagine
I've had
a really good week. I guess we've got to start looking at the... I mean, I wouldn't say the inevitable, but it seems to be that we're looking towards... the dreaded R word. We're looking at, you know, relegation. Results haven't gone our way this week, which was a big week for us. Couple with that, with other results not going our way as well. We've got a massive, massive job on our hands now in the last three games.
Yeah, as I said last week and the week before, I felt we had to be in touching distance come Saturday's game against Clyde. That now, obviously, it's not going to happen. We're now too far adrift, 5 points. I wanted to be within one win, so even if you win, you'd be either level on points or you'd be a point above them if you won. But it can't happen. So, yeah, I think, as you said, you're sort of staring at it in the face. You're almost looking now for a minimum of two wins out of your last three, considering you've got through the whole season. It's a massive ask. It's not quite dead and buried, but obviously failing to pick up anything on Saturday would mathematically mean that we are relegated.
We'll obviously come into it a wee bit later, but even if we win the game on Saturday, there is still a real possibility by the end of the Kelty game that could be our season finished.
Yeah, it's, as you said, you're sort of staring at the inevitable now, where the relegation is a distinct possibility. It looks like it's going to happen. I just think Ryan and Jordan, It's been brilliant effort from them trying to get the players going, but it's just been a wee bit too little too late. It's maybe one of them, had they got an extra month, you never know. You could pick out faults, in the last 12 months, going back to April last year when we didn't get contract negotiations done quick enough with some of the players. You could pick out holes and faults throughout, but unfortunately this time next week it could be a completely different episode.
Maybe the results maybe haven't been that great. They have obviously picked up a win, but you can certainly see the effort and the performances have improved vastly under Jordan and Ryan. And you sort of have to look at it and say, well, why have they managed to get so much out of the same players that Davy Robertson had, and why was he now looking at maybe changing things, as you said, maybe a month earlier?
Yeah, million-dollar question. It's the same players that they've got. That's Ryan and Jordan that Davy had. I think the Montrose game on Saturday was just one game too many. It's a part-time team and playing three games within a week. If you factor in on the Tuesday night, you're playing the league leaders, a full-time team with Dunfermline, who I thought we gave a good account of ourselves against, gave them a run for their money. But just too little too late. There is players in that squad that you look at and go, over the last couple of weeks, you've put in a shift, but where's that been the last 3-4 months? And you're starting to question things, but I think there'll be a huge overhaul in the summer when a manager does finally get appointed.
Yeah, so we'll briefly touch on Tuesday's game. Obviously, they've got the Montrose game on Saturday as well to look back on, but we'll briefly touch on last week's game on a Tuesday night, under the lights at Balmoor, which is always good to get. In the end, though, it was another victory for the league leaders, 2-0 in the end. There's an argument that they were probably comfortable. However, you look back on the game and you look at, the Jordan Brown header, for example, which was early on in the first half, Ryan Strachan's free kick. Any of those two goes in early on in that first half, obviously that changes the game. I'm not saying we then go and win the game, but it certainly makes it for a different game.
Yeah, I think so. Give a really good account of ourselves. I think the first opening 20 minutes, there wasn't much between the two sides. I think that's credit to us. I did see somewhere online that from a Dunfermline point of view, they said we're never troubled in the game. I didn't agree with that, especially the first 20 minutes. I think there was maybe they weren't entirely bothered by it, but I think we created, obviously you said, the Jordan header, the Ryan free kick. As you said, one of them goes in. Dunfermline knew that they could have won the league on Tuesday night had results gone their way with Montrose and Falkirk, which didn't quite happen their way either. So there's a few permutations that could have happened. But I thought we gave a good account of ourselves. We played well. It's just unfortunately that it was one killer pass in the second half that did us. And then, as it has been the story of the season, where heads sort of dropped for there. But we've got to bear in mind it was a full-time team that came up on a Tuesday.
And although they were could potentially have won the league that night, did their defence in particular did look a wee bit nervy in for large parts of that first half. They did look a little bit shaky, and I just think that if we had maybe been a little bit more confident, I know we're coming into that game with a win, but you know, we're a team that hasn't put back-to-back victories together. We might have been able to capitalise on that, and you know, you look at, I think it was Benedictus, it seemed to be doing a lot of screaming and shouting out, especially that first half. I think just kind of summed up how below they were maybe that first half.
Yeah, when you're centre-back and captain screaming as loudly as he was on Tuesday night, you think our team was in a bit of danger. Again, some folks said they weren't in trouble, but I do think that even the Dunfermline players knew that, I wouldn't say they were comfortable in a sense, but yeah, it was felt that one good pass and we could have been in behind, so to speak. So yeah, I think we did well. But again, it's one of them games we've played well in periods of it, but we've got nothing for it in the end. That could be what I'm doing.
Two big shouts for penalties for Dunfermline first half, both for handball. I think we maybe run our luck a little bit with those.
Yeah, I think they could have been penalties. Yeah, we ain't got the rub of the green with refereeing decisions this season. I think refereeing's been poor, as we've mentioned numerous times, but I think we've got a lucky break with them too.
And we mentioned how an attacking threat Dunfermline were doing their left, our right. It seemed to be everything good about what they were doing first half was coming down were right, and it was a bit of a concern.
Yeah, so Danny Strachan was more in a midfield role, and it was difficult for him to get out in that wide right position. That was how he was their out ball in, and got the ball, they were looking for the space. And it was a strange one, because a lot late in Bisley, we sort of caught in two minds, does he try and hold his position in the defence, or does he try and go and win the ball, but then he's caught out and you leave the defence exposed. And he didn't either in periods of that first half. I thought he was caught out a number of times. Probably needing a wee bit of guidance for centre-backs, trying to know when to go and when to sort of hold. But yeah, we looked a wee bit shaky doing that right-hand side. And it's probably an area that's caused us a wee bit of problems this season. You know, obviously, when Davey first came in, he tried, like, everybody at right-back at one point with Jason, with Jordan, you know, with numerous different players. So it's maybe something that'll need addressing in the summer, you know, going forward, whatever manager it'll be.
I think it's as well, because we've set up as a four in midfield as a diamond, you know, Danny's coming inside, or even Jack from the left-hand side, they come inside to make it a little bit tighter. It does open up the space. The way that Dunfermline were setting up, they were almost three up front, so it was like 3-4-3 for them at times. So as you said, Leighton wasn't sure if he should hold his line or come forward, and these are all kind of things that the Dunfermline was obviously picked up on, and tactically they were slightly better when they're coming up with against teams like Peterhead.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you always knew that outball was going to be their fullbacks, and Dunfermline used it well, but when you've got the quality in their squad, they are going to move the ball a lot quicker than what we are. They're going to hit their targets, and they probably pinpointed our fullbacks as being a weak link in the squad. Certainly doing our right side, that proved the case. Leighton was caught out a few times. Maybe through his own doing, you know, the way the team was and the shape with Diamond, it was also always going to be difficult for players to get out wide. But I think the starting position sometimes maybe just needs the need to be rather than all focus in the middle. Maybe try and hold that line a bit wider when we didn't hit the ball. But over 90 minutes, I don't think it would have changed the game anyway.
The second goal, a rare mistake from Jack Wilkie this season. I think we could probably count on one hand how many mistakes he's actually made over the course of the season. And it's just one of those where he sort of gets stuck between, you know, do I clear it, do I try and play it back to the goalkeeper, try and, you know, try and deal with it. It doesn't really do nothing. Gets nicked off him, and then within a matter of 3-4 seconds, the ball's into the back of the net.
Yeah, as soon as it happened, you've seen Jack's reaction. It was sort of that he'd done, he knew he'd made a mistake, but as you rightly pointed out, you can count on one hand the amount of times he's made an error this season. It's unfortunate. It's one of them things that happens as a defender. You could clear your lines 99 times out of 100. That one occasion it isn't. But that's not to tell the, you know, the season that he's had. It's been a poor Peter Reid team, but I think that's probably been the shining light this season is Jack Wilkie.
We did sort of huff and puff after that, trying to create opportunities. I don't think really much in the second half. We created too much. I think Shanks had a couple of long range efforts which were either blocked or he scuffed. Or again, maybe it's one of those where if he's a wee bit more confident and firing on all cylinders, he maybe takes them first time rather than try to control it, which then allows the defenders to close him down.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he looks like a sort of striker, as all strikers are. They describe their confidence level. And when he first came in, he was willing to take things on. Obviously, as the games go on, he doesn't score goals. That's maybe sort of affected his confidence a wee bit. I think he'll go back to our growth in the summer, and I think he'll have a good pre-season with him. Whether he gets loaned out again to another team remains to be seen. But, you know, what I've seen of Kieran, again, you've got to bear in mind that we're a team that don't create many chances anyway. I think he'll go on to a good career, and hopefully we can maybe get him back next season, depending on what happens at our growth.
I mean, getting into that game, we probably weren't expecting too much anyway. I think the focus probably would have been certainly this game against Montrose, having beaten Edinburgh. We were obviously coming out with a bit of a high. If we picked up anything, we'd obviously been a bonus. So really, in the grand scheme of things, it maybe wasn't such a bad result prior to what happened on Saturday.
No, I don't think it was. I looked more at the performance on Tuesday night rather than the result. And on the back of the win on the Saturday, I thought the performance level was good on the Tuesday. I thought there was a decent tempo at the game. Obviously, as the game went on in the second half, we sort of fell away a wee bit, but we're up against a full-time team, and they moved the ball around well. But I thought the performance was good, and that sort of gave my confidence going into the game on Saturday.
There's maybe a couple of positives that we could sort of pick out on for Tuesday night was Conor O'Keefe made his first appearance since his injury back in November, so it was good to see him back on the field again. We've obviously seen him warming up in a couple of games prior to that, but he was back on again and looking good. But because he's been out that long, it'll obviously take him a few games to get that match sharpness again.
Yeah, you don't want to rush them back too early either, do you? And then make things worse. It's like any player coming back, you try and give them that bit of time and they rush them. But yeah, he's a player that's really struggled with injuries this season. It's been unfortunate. I thought he looked bright early on in the season. It's just not quite worked out for him, but hopefully he'll get a good pre-season under his belt and kick on for next year.
And John Allen finally made his home debut after three away appearances. His long-awaited home debut. And again, put himself about. I don't know if expectations is going to be too high for him or not, but I think probably we're looking at next season for him and maybe building a partnership with somebody next season.
It was good to see him come on. Like you said, it's been a long-awaited for his home debut. Didn't do nothing great, didn't do nothing bad. Only got a couple of minutes towards the end. But like you, I think it's definitely a player that you're sort of looking at next season. Might get a run out over the next couple of games as well, but definitely a player that's probably earmarked for next season.
We did learn after Saturday's game that in Ryan's post-match, the players didn't train on Thursday. So obviously, they've played Saturday, they've played Tuesday, haven't trained on the Thursday, probably just because it was... The work rate from the players would probably meant that, you know, if they did turn up for training, it maybe wouldn't have been the best training session that they've had this season. So they were worthy of a rest, I feel. But on the flip side of that is then your prep work for what is a probably more vital game for a Saturday then goes out the window.
Yeah, it's a strange game. Because like you said, probably wouldn't have been the most effective training session on the Thursday. It would have been three games plus a training session a week for a part-time team, part-time players. I think that would have been quite a lot. But as you said, it's probably one of the most important games of the season against someone who throws a team that weren't really in form either. You felt it was a game that you could have got something out of. So you'd have maybe have liked some sort of training, but I can see why Ryan and Jordan Hanna, I think for, you know, a session plus three games would have been too much. And you're just hoping that the work done on the Saturday and the Tuesday, and it would have just been a few tactical tweaks for tactical changes for the Saturday game. But, you know, it's disappointing that we didn't get the win on Saturday.
You also risk the any sort of knocks that maybe had picked up on the Tuesday, again getting flared up again on the Thursday, and therefore somebody who may have been available on a Saturday then suddenly becomes unavailable.
Yeah, that's a risk that you've got, and it's something you try and avoid. It's one of them things you could try and put on a session, but like you said, if you get a knock or something that's just not quite right, then they could be out for a couple of weeks, and at this stage of the season, you need your key players playing.
So, set of this game, doing it at Lynx Park at Montrose. Two changes from the starting lineup from the Wednesday. Jason Brown and McIver started. Kevin Joshua and Oynson dropped out. Jason missed out because of hamstring injury on the Tuesday, so it was good to see him back in again. And I just wonder maybe if he was, I wouldn't say he was going to change the result, but maybe just that what you're saying about, you know, Bislin, you know, having been helped through the game, might have been more aware of what was happening around about him.
Yeah, the Tuesday Dunfermline game. Yeah, possibly. I think when games like that, when you can clearly see your fullback struggling a bit, I think you do need that experienced guy beside him. I don't think Ryan can do everything on his own as an experienced centre back. He needed somebody, you know, to be able to help him. I think Jason Brown would have been that guy. It was unfortunate he was going to miss out. I think he was always going to miss out on Tuesday. I'm actually quite surprised that he played on Saturday, to be honest, given it being a hamstring injury. But again, it's one of them games that he's probably determined to play in. He's one of them who wants to play in every game. You know, he failed a fitness test on a Tuesday. Again, that shows you he wanted to play. But when you've got a hamstring injury, you expect at least a couple of weeks. I was surprised that he sort of came in to start a lineup on Saturday.
And Kevin Joshua came in on the Saturday and did well. And again, maybe didn't do anything too bad on the Tuesday night. I think maybe one mistake or something. I think by the time that it was 2-0 anyway. So, but he was back to what you would like to see from your defenders, just doing the basics, right?
Yeah, he did that when he came on against Edinburgh, when he came on for Jason Brown. He sort of just, ball was in the air, he came, he headed it, he played it simple passes, he kept it. I think that's what he did in his first couple of games when he came in, and then he tried to overcomplicate things, and that's when it sort of went a wee bit belly up. But yeah, he's a strong defender, and he just needs to do what he's good at.
First half, wasn't it really great for us? Second half was a lot better, without really looking like we were going to score too many. But I think that probably sums up how the season's gone. We've been good in patches, but just haven't been good over a full 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think you can count on one hand this season how many times we've been good for a complete 90 minutes. In fact, even the Edinburgh game the other week, it wasn't a complete 90-minute performance. There was periods in that game that Edinburgh played well but didn't cause as much problem. So I think that's sort of been, well, one over Achilles' heels. Obviously, they putting the ball in the back of the net is a major one. But trying to get a complete performance out of the team this season has been very difficult. And again, that was probably one of our major things that caused us our downfall on Saturday.
And I wonder as well just how much Oynson was a miss as well, because when you're coming up against defenders like Sean Dillon, Matty Allen, Waddle is at the back line at Montrose Halve, and we are playing Shanks and Jack Brown up there, there's a big difference.
Yeah, a big difference with our height and a big difference with our experience as well. These guys can read the game very, very well. I think we spoke about the other week about Sean Dillon, the age that he's at. That he's kept himself in great condition. The fact that he doesn't really cover much ground because he reads the game so well. So you put in the inexperience and your smaller strikers, it was always going to be a tough afternoon, and that's probably where you're missing players like Josh Oynson up top, sort of trying to ruffle a few feathers.
And it's weird because a few months ago even, we would have been saying Oynson shouldn't have even been starting. But now we're at a stage where we're actually saying, we think maybe he was a miss.
Yeah, And again, that goes down to the work that Ryan and Jordan's done. When I sugarcoated, Davey wasn't getting anything out of Onionson, like a few of the players. And it just shows you a change of manager, a different voice in the dressing room. We came that the training sessions have been different as well. There's a lot more work gone into them and the way the training sessions are being held. And I think that's, you know, proved that some players have taken advantage of it. And Josh Onionson, I think, is one of them. He came in, he struggled. He was struggling to get a performance in him, struggling to play. And then obviously there was a change in manager and, you know, he's fully taken that challenge on board. And I think he's done well. And that's why I would say Saturday he was a miss up top.
And it does show as well, once somebody like him gets a goal, how the confidence suddenly goes through the roof.
Yeah, a bit like Kieran, you know, if you could have got another goal maybe a couple of weeks ago going into this run and you'd Onionson as well, you just, it's all ifs and buts, but you think if them guys had a wee bit of confidence in them, a wee bit more belief installed, then you never know what could have happened.
Let's go to the two goals for Montrose then. The opening goal, Michael Gardine, it's such a simple goal to concede, such a simple goal for them to score. Cross from the right, Gardine's unmarked and he's got a free header inside the, well, it's, I was going to say it's inside the 6-yard box, but it's definitely about 8-10 yards out, something like that. And he's managed to finish it off. And it's, as I said, it's such a simple goal, but it's such a poor one to concede.
How many times have we said that this year in episodes? It's a stupid goal to concede, it's disappointing. Yeah, that sort of way with that. It's a simple cross into the box when I dealt with it. No one's got near him and he's got the easiest of finishes that you want. And yeah, I think when you're a living player, especially with his quality in front of goal, he's always going to punish you.
Probably one of the smartest guys in their team as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really frustrating. He just sort of goes to them, nobody's picked him up, as you said, and that was the fear, because going into a game like that, I always felt as though the first goal was going to be key, and we said this before during the course of the season. If we concede the first goal, there is then an element of, here we go, that this could be another 2-3-4-0. Didn't it turn out that way, but you never felt as though that we were going to get into the game quickly enough.
There's been a few games at Baltimore this season where we've maybe played well, opening 15, 20 minutes, but then it's either normally a counter-attack or a good passage of play and the opposition's got a goal and then we've seen the heads drop. I think, prime example, okay, it was a lot later in the game, but the Urdry game, second game into the new year, played reasonably well, conceded our goal late on, and then before we knew it, it was 3-0, you know, and we looked miles off it. So that's been the common thing this season, that once we have conceded, the heads have sort of gone down and dropped and we've struggled to get a performance.
Second goal, we're pushing on, we're trying to get the equaliser, so much so that Jason Brown, our centre-half, is actually crossing the ball into the box for the wide right area from a throw-in, and it's been cleared, that the header's been cleared out, the cross has been hit, cleared out the box with a header. We then deal with the second bar. We then win the second bar. We then win the third ball, and we then sort of two passes. Watson's on the edge of the box, and another counter attack goal, which was our Achilles heel last season, conceding quite a lot of those early on this season as well. And it's just something that it sort of continues on. But maybe this time, it's not so much to do with the play of the opposition, but it's maybe just eagerness to try and get this equalising goal.
It's probably one of them. It's probably a goal that sums up the season, is it? It's your centre back crossing it in. We didn't win the first ball, we didn't win the second ball, we didn't win the third ball, and before you came it, the ball's in the back of our own net. And too easy to cut open. It's disappointing as it is. I can see that the players are trying to do, they're trying to get in the box, they're trying to create chances, they're trying to get back into the game, but you know, you've got to watch the trapdoor at the back, and at 2-0, I think that was the first goal was always going to be important, but I think, you know, the second goal was even just as important, because at 2-0 and 1-1, it's a completely different game, especially the form that Montrose are on. If we'd gone back in the game, it's something to fight for. Surely players would have been aware of the Clyde score at half-time as well, so you know, I think that second goal was probably the killer.
And if you watch it again, Jason's obviously trying to track back and try and stop McAllister from playing the ball forward. but he's also got Ryan Strachan right next to him as well. So both our centre halves are in the Montrose half, almost on the touchline. And as I said, within sort of two passes, the Watson's on the edge of the box. So it's maybe just about managing the game a little bit better.
Yeah, I was surprised when I, you know, you picked up on it. It's your two centre halves, an experienced centre halves as well. Mm. You would think it maybe one of them would just have the. It's not even the savvy, just the tactical awareness to think, well, wait a minute, my centre half partner's away over there, I'm just going to sit here, maybe try and bring somebody back, and be more mindful and aware of the game and the play that's happening. So, yeah, surprise, like I said, I can see what they're trying to do, but we're sort of shot ourselves in the foot.
As I say, because if you're a midfielder as well, though, you've got, if you see Jason's up there, somebody's going to go, hold on a minute, there's a big gap there, I'm just going to drop in,
yeah.
Whether it's Andy McCarthy, whether it's Danny Strachan or Jack Brown or even Jordan himself. Somebody just, as you said, just have the awareness around about them just to go, right, I need to plug that gap.
Yeah, it's probably when you're looking around your team, you're thinking, right, why is two of my centre-backs both on the right-hand side? We need to plug that gap and fill it in. It's almost like you've got an injury, the player's gone off, you need to plug that gap, and you're looking for somebody just to be more aware.
You could have been looking at that situation going, oh, how about my two centre halves are up there? One's captain, one's co-manager. I maybe when I say that.
it is one of them. You pick your battles, but for the benefit of the team, you'd probably, you know, again, that's when you're looking for Jordan or even Andy McCarthy, your experienced guys, to say, wait a minute, guys, why are you both over on the right-hand side? One of you has got to stay in the middle. And, you know, they're saying it would have prevented the goal, but, again, it's, we speak about players being in the wrong position normally for in a tactical sense. Again, position-wise, that wasn't the best.
And maybe one last effort to prevent the goal, Stuart McKenzie. Really surprised he hasn't come out quicker or even come out at all. To try and face up Watson. Once the ball comes across, I mean, he's probably still, 25 yards out. So he actually has plenty of time to control the ball and then place his shot from the edge of the 18-yard box. McKenzie, I think, is only on the penalty spot. Now, for me, I would like for a goalkeeper in that position, just come right out. Make the opposition player react quicker. Then I give him the time on the ball to decide what he's going to do. Make him rush it, even.
A wee bit like what the Edinburgh keeper did with Kieran Shanks. He came running out, and also Kieran tried to go around him, but he made the player make that decision. Yeah. I think in this instance, it was too easy for player to go through, and McKenzie's in really no man's land. It's been a strange 3-4 months, I think, for Stuart McKenzie. He's come in, and obviously confidence is low. We are conceding a lot of goals, but I thought with an experienced keeper coming in, that's no disrespect to Tom Ritchie-Whitehead, but his inexperience, you just felt if you've got a more experienced goalkeeper in the back, things might improve. But I do think his starting position, I think sometimes you expect him to take more of a control of his box. I always associate him with being at Cove and being a really good shot stopper and commando his area. But, you know, I haven't seen much of it. You're hoping that in pre-season, if there's new defenders coming in and things get a wee bit more tight and assured at the back, that you'll start to see the best of him. But at the moment, you know, he's had a ropey 3-4 month. But, you know, that could be said for quite a few of the players.
There was a glimmer of hope, and it was just a little glimmer of hope when Kieran Shanks puts the ball in net for his third goal for the club. And once again, Jack Wilkie heavily involved with a free kick. Wonderful wee free kick into a decent area. And it's one of those where you're just saying your teammates, just suddenly go ahead and get it on target because you're going to score.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is you're probably hoping it was 10 minutes earlier than for it was to give us sort of a fighting chance. It wasn't it to be, but yeah, it was a good finish. And as you said, a really good ball on to Jack Wilkie, who I think in this last couple of months has really improved in his set pieces. We've mentioned it a few times that his corners he's taken, you know, right in the danger area. His free kicks have just been as good.
And as we said, we've mentioned his free kicks so many times this season, but, you know, it's him putting decent balls in, but it's sometimes as well, it's people maybe not anticipating where it's going to go, whereas this one, it was a fairly easy one for Shanks to pick up.
Yeah, his crosses have been really good this last couple of months, as I was saying. as you rightly pointed out, you're just wanting your attacker to go and head it. Kieran's read it well, he's knew where he's going to go, and you know, he's put a good finish in the net.
Now, obviously the game finished 2-1, but if you look at the stats for the game, Montrose had 15 shots, 8 on target, we had 8 and 3, just 3 on target. 12 corners though, Montrose had, and then there was a period in the second half where they really could have killed the game off with numerous chances from set pieces. Either, you know, the headers obviously going wide or over, but it was worrying the amount of times that they got so many free headers from set pieces.
I think it's something that'll need to be addressed in the summer, where defending set pieces and attacking set pieces, I think, has been nearly as good this season as what it has been. I think it's been good for the last few years, but we've been a lot less effective in both boxes this season. Probably something needs to be addressed when a new manager comes in, even try and get something that works with set pieces, because I think we have been poor. But yeah, they could have killed the game off. They had a couple of chances, and you're looking for your sort of players to be a wee bit stronger, and they let your man go. And that happened a few times.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been unfair had they gone on and won the game, maybe 3-1, 4-1, whatever it maybe would have turned out. But it was still a game that, coming into it, we would have been expecting someone out of it, and I don't think we really sort of got going quick enough. Too slow a start for me, I think.
Yeah, I think given the magnitude of the game, like you said, Montrose weren't in the greatest of form. We knew how important this Montrose game would be, given the fact that Clyde were playing Edinburgh, who we'd played the week before. We knew how they played, and we weren't that impressed with them. So yeah, we felt that Clyde might get something out of that game. I was surprised it was a slowish start. You also factor in that it's 3 games within a week. I think that's crucial as well. Had the Dunfermline game maybe have been, you know, this week coming, or, you know, potentially 2 weeks ago. I think it was rearranged from like a month ago. So I don't think there was ever going to be an ideal time for it, because it was always going to be 3 games within a week. But, you know, you try and pick your battles. And yeah, I think that given the magnitude of the game that we had against Montrose, slightly disappointed with how quick we started.
And as you said, Clyde did pick up a win, which, I mean, we did, I think, once we finished recording last week, or even when we were speaking about it on a Tuesday night, there was a fear that Clyde may well pick up the 3 points in that game, because Edinburgh had been really poor, on a poor bit of form, didn't play well against us at all, and there was that kind of thinking in the back of your head, that Montrose, the game then becomes even more bigger, and then we really need to pick up the 3 points. It does mean now, as we said, the gap is now 5 points, 9 available. Even with 2 wins, Clyde really only need to pick up 1 point from now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I said last week that we had to be in touching distance. Like I said at the start of the show tonight, we had to be in touching distance. We're now not. It's now out of our hands. The minimum that you need on Saturday is, obviously, you've got to beat Clyde, takes it down to 2 points, but you're looking for other teams now to do you a favour, and you've got to pick up points against Kelty and Falkirk, and even if you drew both of them games, it's still going to be enough on goal difference. So there's a lot of work to be done if we've to somehow get ninth, and I think Saturday's results, the win for Clyde and the defeat for us, could just be the final straw.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, after Saturday's game, there's 2 games after that. We go to Kelty the following week. On the same weekend, Clyde are away to Dunfermline. And then we're at home to Falkirk, last game of the season. They're at home to Montrose. So, obviously, we're going to focus on Saturday's game. Excuse me. But Dunfermline on such a good bit of form at the minute. It's their last home game of the season. They're on a 21 game unbeaten run, I think it is, which is a club record. They're obviously going to try and keep that going as long as they can. You know, if we can get the win on Saturday, I really, if you're looking at it, it could well go down to the final game of the season, which I really kind of hoping it does do.
Yeah, but the final game of the season is Clyde and Montrose. Montrose will have nothing to play for. you know, and Clyde at that point you would think would just need a point. So, yeah, I mean, first of all, we've got to beat Clyde on Saturday. It's, I think we can get too carried away and look too far forward with the permutations. I think the players have got to be fully focused on a good training session Tuesday and Thursday, know exactly what their job is, and that job is that you have to get 3 points on Saturday. Even a draw, okay, mathematically it doesn't relegate you, but you know, going by the goal difference and the points on the board that Clyde have got, it's all but done if you don't win on Saturday.
Yeah, mathematically it's still possible, but from a mental standpoint, you're almost staring into the abyss.
Yeah, I think it would be too much. That's why, you know, if you do get the win against Clyde on Saturday and then it brings it back to one game with two still to go, it maybe just puts a seed of doubt in Clyde's minds, because I'd imagine they'd have won, obviously, when they won the game on Saturday, they'd have gone in, noticed that we've been beat by Montrose, and, you know, they'd probably think it's all but done. They won't come out and publicly say that they think it's done, but, you know, in the dressing room, you'd probably be thinking that they've done it. But, you know, if you can beat Clyde on Saturday, you just never came. But I go back to, you have to win on Saturday.
Let's get some of your thoughts on Saturday's game, and obviously the what's coming up for the remainder of the season. Graham McLean, still possible, obviously must beat Clyde next week. Their last two games is against Dunfermline and Montrose, so could possibly go to the final game. Still believe it's until it's impossible, and that's kind of, it's difficult to kind of, it's easy to say going by the season we've had, where it's just been absolutely horrendous, where we've found sort of very little to try and give us any kind of hope. But as we've said, and as Graham says there, until it's over, we still have to kind of believe that we can get out of this.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you'd said to me at the start of the season, you'll get three wins our season, but there's still three games to go in the season, you're still mathematically near relegated. It just shows you the sort of season that both teams, Peterhead and Clyde, have had. It's not mathematically done yet. There is still hope, but that hope could soon be diminished if you didn't beat Clyde. But I don't think I could take it going down to the final game. I'd be a nervous wreck at the back of that stand, pacing back and forth.
Maybe the good thing about it, if it does go to the last game of the season, is the fact that Falkirk aren't going to win the league. They've basically secured second already. They may well be looking at the playoffs again after the season is finished. So that could come into it as well. It's now a case of that we're trying to stay up and they're maybe going for the title the last game of the season as well.
Yeah, that's if we can get it due to the last game of the season. For a 5-point swing, sorry, 6 you would need. They might play a rotated side. I guess the flip side on that is you look at the guys that might come in, all ifs and buts, but they might come in the Falkirk side looking, I'm wanting a place in the playoffs, so they'll try to prove a point. A lot of ifs and buts, but you know, we need to start by getting out of the points on Saturday.
Andrew Jones says, we've still got hope we can scalp Clyde on Saturday. Ian Hardy says, looking forward to trips to Elgin again.
That's if Elgin might not.
Well, that's true. Derek Bain, season is over, rebuild next season in a league with part-time teams and hopefully do well. And maybe there's that kind of aspect to it as well. It's a case of, I wouldn't say hitting reset button again, but you know, we've been at that level before. We've done really well previously. It doesn't sort of, maybe takes us a couple of seasons to come back at the very most. But you know, the teams that's got to be in are there, providing of course we recruit well. I don't think we should be fearing anybody too much, even if you know if a team comes up, whether it be who's the Spartans have won Lowland League. We're looking at probably Bucky at this stage as well. Do they hold any fears for us? Probably not. So I mean, you're looking at coming at League Two, and I wouldn't say trying to dominate, but you know, you're trying to reset again and try and build the confidence in the players again, and then rebuild again for, you know, potentially going forward again, back up into League One.
We've commented a few times lately about how competitive League One is, and obviously there's a few full-time teams, there's hybrids, there's quality within their squads, also based on where they're at in the country geographically. And it's something that we've struggled this season, trying to recruit good players You do think that maybe going down a division, you'll have players that are, you think the players that are here next year are players that want to play for the club. I don't think we've quite got that just now, that everybody's committed to the club as fit they maybe could be. And it is, it's almost like a reset, and you would try and go again. It'll be a new manager that comes in, new ideas, and you're hoping that some of the senior players that we've got will stick around for next season. Again, there is a couple tied up. There is a few that have been offered contracts. We're just waiting to find out the outcome of them. But yeah, it could be a bad thing going down, but at the same time, on the flip side, it could actually be a good thing, because you've got that chance to reset. And as you said, we're going to be coming up against part-time teams, and we can try and go again.
Yeah, it's about building confidence, yeah. Again, building wins, getting goals on the score sheet again, and that's things that we've been missing really this season and for spells of last season as well.
Yeah, I think the hill, was it January to the end of the season last year, we struggled for goals and wins, and that sort of continued massively into this season. So it's a team that hasn't got much wins in the last 2 years anyway. And trying to build that with your confidence levels, you know, that does take a hit, and it'll be up to the new manager when he does come in to try and install a bit of belief in the squad.
Sean Beattie, much better second half, but first half cost us. Still a slim chance if we can beat Clyde and get another win. David Stormuth this week has been a killer. It probably has been an absolute killer, as we said, 3 games, multiple kind of injuries and other things. It's just... it's maybe been a week that we really wanted at this stage of the season.
No, you really didn't have won 3 games within a week. You know, if you could have handpicked a team to play Clyde on Saturday, the last team you'd have picked would have been Edinburgh, because Edinburgh hadn't been really good this calendar year. They've really fallen away off the pace, and they hadn't been great. So yeah, we thought that Clyde might have gotten something for that game. Unfortunately, they did. Yeah, and it's proved to be an absolute bugger of a week.
Scott Reid, name mentioning his words here, shite first half, no fight and was miles off. Second half was better, but still not good enough. Neil Thompson, not sure if fatigue had set in with our third game of the week. We were just not at the races against a poor Montrose side. Lost a headed goal to a midget and allowed Watson to look like a player to score their second goal. The only good thing was Kieran Shanks tucking away with a neat touch in a 6-yard box where he belongs. Expected us really to push for a win today, but it was badly let down. I think
that's bang on, to be fair, everything he said there.
Yeah, obviously the fatigue comes into it, but fatigue probably comes into it, but given what he's saying there about, you know, the expect us to push for a win, and what Ryan said in his post-match as well, actually, it felt it was vastly a poorer performance than what we'd have expected.
Yeah, I mean, I take fatigue, obviously, it's 3 games within a week, but I think given the magnitude of the game and how important it was, you would have felt that would have given them maybe an extra yard. I don't know. It's all ifs and buts, but you were looking for that a little bit more. I think the 90 minutes, we knew how important it was, and you know, some of the guys just fell slightly short.
So it does leave us still bottom of the table. We're currently on 15 points for the entire season, 16 goals, I think it is, as well, which obviously it isn't a great sort of... I've kind of had a wee look and see what the kind of records are at the moment. The lowest points total is actually 16 points for a 36 league game season. So we're 1 point to try and avoid that. That was achieved twice, 07-08 by Berwick Rangers and 08-09, so it was back-to-back seasons, actually. When Stroud did it the following season. We are obviously miles off of what the lowest goals total was, which is 22. Can we score 7 goals in the last 3 games?
Well, it probably might take us 7 goals to get
well, that's it. We might need
so,
it.
I mean, we could blast all the records by scoring 7 goals. That would take us on to potentially 9 points furthermore. Yeah, I think we're going to be setting a record there, unfortunately.
It does show you how poor the season as a whole has been, because there's not many teams that, when you look back, have failed to get sort of 30 points in a 36 league game season.
Yeah, it's like, there's no mention that, is it? It's been a really poor season. It's been poorly recruited by the board, by Jim, by Davey, and his time as well. So, yeah, this season, in the summer, new manager will come in. It needs a club reset from top to bottom, how they're going to do things, and see which direction they're going to go in.
I think I'm just going to quick look at it. I think it's only been 10 times since the 36 league game season came into fruition back in 94-95. So you're almost talk, what, 30 year, nearly,
yeah.
30 seasons. Obviously, you've got the two COVID seasons, so we didn't take them into account. So, you know, it's less than, what, a third of those seasons that somebody's finished bottom with less than 30 points.
Yeah, again, it just shows you how poor the season's been, how badly it's gone. There's not much more. It really does need an overhaul in the summer and somebody to come in and saw a fair bit of belief in this squad or the new squad that he assembles.
And if we somehow miraculously take this to the last game of the season, which we're obviously praying that we do, shows you how poor that Clyde have been as well this season, because if it wasn't for a really poor Clyde side, even a bang average Clyde side, we would have been relegated about 3 months ago.
Oh, absolutely. I think at one point as well, Clyde started the season off really, really well. It was in about October time, then they started slipping further down the table. Then they got rid of it.
They started off with two wins and a draw, first three league games. So they got 10 points out of first 12, and then won 18 without a win.
Aye, because Danny Lennon was relieved of his duties at some point in there, and then Duffy came in, and I thought he'll properly kick them on. He's a decent coach, but it's not quite worked out. Thankfully for our side of things, it hasn't worked out for them. But it just shows how poor both sets of teams have been.
Can you imagine if we both end up in League Two again?
Jeez,
sick of seeing them every season. Lee Essament has sent us a question, so thanks for your question, Lee. Simply asking, Ryan and Jordan for full-time gaffers, yes or no?
I wouldn't be against it, but whether they would want to do it full-time themselves is a different question. We've spoken before about whether they would actually want to do it, but at a stage in their career now where they've certainly still got a good few years. I don't think it would be a bad idea to keep them both on the coaching setup when a new manager does come in, but it'd be entirely up to them whether they'd want it, whether they would be willing to do it as a duo. But I still think they've got a couple of years left on the playing side anyway.
Funny enough, we spoke about this on Tuesday night, and also reiterate what I said to you on Tuesday, if you're going to go down that line, what I would prefer to see is Ryan as the manager and Jordan as a player, assistant manager role. If you're going to do that as well, you really need to get an experienced coach alongside Ryan as well. Nay, a manager, experienced manager, but an experienced coach, because obviously those roles are really different, just to help them through, because they're going to need it.
Oh, absolutely. Slightly similar circumstances in a sense, but you've got Barry Robson at Aberdeen. We all came, he's the manager. They brought in Steve Agnew within, 2 weeks of him being appointed the interim caretaker manager. So it's pretty clear that Agnew's the coach and Barry's the caretaker manager. But again, he's got that really good sounding board with a lot of knowledge. You're probably looking for something similar with Ryan and Jordan, but again, I don't think at this moment in time, personally, I don't think they would want it.
I'm not against them taking.
No,
it.
Certainly not.
I think they're going to need help with the sort of day to day stuff. It might be okay doing it for what, 7 games.
Yeah,
but we know once you're into the things of trying to sign players, coaching. Okay, it's part time, but it'll take over your life kind of thing. And once the season sort of kicks in, where you start to struggle and maybe change things up, is where they might be looking for other ideas.
I mean, I think it sort of goes my thinking with any manager that comes in now, in the sense of we are needing an experienced coach or a manager coming in, because as we've said, the confidence in the squad is very, very little. There's going to be a lot of players departing in the summer as well, so you're going to need a rebuild that needs somebody that's probably got experience in it. You know, there has been rumours of, you know, you could get a you know, Barry Ferguson coming in or Kevin Thompson. This, to me, needs an experienced manager. So I think going and doing that younger, inexperienced coach that everybody screams out for days these days in the modern game, that they want a free-flowing young coach. This is maybe the opposite way to go in. Okay, hasn't it worked with Jim and Davey? But you probably do need an experienced coach to come in and sort of steady the ship for a couple of years and then maybe pass it on.
Yep, so obviously all roads lead to Saturday's game against Clyde. I mean, there's not much else we can say really other than this is a must-win game. And we've been saying that for the last few weeks. But if there are must-win games, this is the must-win, must-win game.
Yeah, it's a very brief preview because it is just win. It's as simple as that. Just go and get the 3 points. Just be better than your man that you're up against. Don't let him win anything. Be committed. Because this is the game that you have to win. Lose the game and you're doomed. And, you know, there's never a good way to go doomed, but to get doomed to your team that's directly above you at home, yeah, couldn't it be much worse with a kick in the teeth on that one?
That's the thing. You know, we spoke last week about, you know, they wanting Dunfermline to come up and win the title on their home turf. We certainly didn't want Clyde coming up here and relegating us, because that would just be make it a million times worse than obviously what a relegation would be anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a mid-table team that would come up, they'd play the game, you would be relegated, but then other teams sort of trudge off the park. Clyde will celebrate as well. That's how important a game it is for them as well. So you'll see them celebrating with their fans on top of us being relegated. Yeah, it's not a thought they're thinking about.
No, it's not. And the thing is that they've hit a bit of form, maybe a form in terms of how poor we've been being.
form for Clyde.
Yeah, they're actually unbeaten in their last three as well. Two draws and a win, nil-nils against Falkirk and Kilty. So they maybe just hit the form at the right time. But as you said, this is a game that we should be going into believing that we can win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any point trying to be cagey in the game and try and work our way into it. I think we've got to go for the jugular, go out all guns blazing, try and get the 3 points. I think they'll come up and they'll probably quite happily take a draw, keeping it in their hands as well, knowing full well that, you know, we would need to win our last two games really to overturn them with them getting nothing. So I think they'll come up, be pretty cagey about it, try and sort of stifle us and frustrate us. We've just got to go out there and play well.
So the sort of three permutations is, we've obviously touched on if what happens if we lose, obviously that means we get relegated, that's it, it's done and dusted, season is over. We have a tear up with the Clyde supporters after the game, just to kind of make ourselves feel a wee bit better. A draw keeps that gap to 5 points with a possible six to go. Mathematically still possible, but any other slip-ups in the last two games, we know that's it, pretty much done and dusted.
Yeah, this is a game that, as we've said, you have to win. And Clyde will be confident. Obviously, they've got that 5-point gap. They've got the better goal difference. Like I said, I think they'll come up and stifle us, but we can't afford any slip-ups between now and the end of the season. It's three games. Every game's a must-win. It sounds weird saying that every game's a must-win because we've only won three the whole season to win your last three. But, you know, the fact that we're still in this situation that we can't avoid relegation with three games to go is incredible. But you've got to, you know, take your chances.
And obviously, if we win, that cuts it down to 2 points, six points remaining as well, which makes it make a look a hell of a lot better. Still not in our hands because obviously we could still win. We could beat Kilty the following week, but lose against Falkirk and Clyde pick up a point either against Montrose or Dunfermline and they stay up because of goal difference.
Yeah, I think Clyde's point of view, they would probably know now that 1 point out of their next three games would probably be enough. And like I said, you don't want them coming up here and doing anything against us. You want to win the game. Put them back down the road with something to think about, and that's why Saturday's game is massive. And it sounds daft, we just need to win.
Should Oynson be fit and ready to play again? Does he come straight back in again?
Yeah, I think he should. I'd go with him and Shanks up top, go with the two of them. You know, and see where you go from there. You've got the little man, the smaller man that worked well against Airdrie, Edinburgh, the cause of a wee bit of problems. And we actually look decent. So, yeah, if he's fit, I would put him straight back into the starting 11.
It's going to be a long week, let's put it that way. It will feel like a cup final, if you like. It'll feel like, you know, almost like a playoff game already. But it's one of those games where you really are looking forward to it. But
no,
but at the same time, you're absolutely bricking it.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it whatsoever. I'm a nervous wreck already. I think had it been any other team other than Clyde, it might have not been as bad. But you know, I don't want Clyde coming up here getting one over us and us and relegating us at the same time. No, that doesn't sit well.
It's bad enough them coming up and winning, but coming up and winning and then relegating us, that's the kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a double whammy. They would get the 3 points and relegate us. So, yeah, that's why Saturday's game, if there was ever a must-win six-pointer or whatever, this is it.
Maybe need a half shandy just to calm your nerves before Saturday.
Aye, we'll turn up on Friday. Turn up on Friday.
Aye, we'll make sure we're there early. Make sure we've got...
It'll be a big crowd.
I genuinely think there will be. I think they'll take up a few.
Yeah, I think given the fact that obviously it's a game that they can mathematically send us down as well, I think they will take up a decent crowd, which might help make it a decent game. To be honest, only the first of it is a decent game as long as we come out in the winning side. But yeah, I think you're wanting your players to be cool as a cucumber, calm under pressure. That's what you're looking for. And you're hoping we can do the business on Saturday.
Okay, joining me now from the Clyde FC podcast, here to hopefully not gloat too much, is Paul Shanks. Paul, good to speak to you again. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Colin. I'd be very bold of me to gloat considering the season still, despite our mini revival, I think I've seen it called online, but things are looking slightly better from a Clyde perspective than they were at least 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, you've just seemed to have, as you said, a mini revival, but we were saying when we were recording, you're on a bit of form given how poor our two seasons have been. You're unbeaten in the last three. And you've picked up incredible draws against Falkirk and Kelty in that as well, and maybe just at the right time.
Well, that's the hope. The hope is that this is us finding our feet again. Unfortunately, we have had a similar run of undefeated games, but it was right at the start of the season, way back in July into August. And then it all went very pear-shaped. That pear was banana-shaped. It was out of shape. The recent games, though, have been positive. It was, I can't say bookended, but it came after the Airdrie debacle. Maybe debacle is a harsh word. Airdrie were, as obviously you were aware, free scoring at that time. And they took us to the cleaners at home 5-1. Maybe, I'm saying this slightly harsh, in the sense that it was a game where we probably had most of the ball, did very little with it, but every time they went forward, they were going to score. It was that simple.
Yeah.
So to then follow that up with a very credible draw against Falkirk, Scottish Cup semi-finalists. Obviously, they'd dropped the ball a wee bit in the league as well. I think they were... and 1-3, I think, by the time they came to New Douglas Park. It was a game that maybe with just a wee bit more composure in front of goal, we did have the biggest chance of the game, Kyle Doherty blazing over from 6 yards on the turn. Maybe sneak it. It would be hard pushed to say we deserved the 3 points. I think a point was fair in reflection. A similar, very similar match against Kelty, but we're probably under the cosh a wee bit more in that game. Particularly in the first half, Neil Parry had to make a couple of saves. Nothing out of this world, saves you would expect a guy of his experience to make. But we also had big chances as well, in particular with three or four minutes left of the game. I think quite a few Clare fans, including myself, nearly missed it because I was too busy checking up on your own squad. Because I think you were winning at the time as well against Celtic. Was it Celtic? No, Edinburgh, sorry.
Edinburgh.
And we were playing Celtic, obviously. And I looked up just as the ball fell to Conor Duthie, six-yard line, and he's hit at the only place that is hitting a defender and not at the back of the net. And you thought, I know where this is going. They're going to get a last-minute winner. Thankfully, it didn't come to be, and it passed without incident. And we thought, right, okay, it's back-to-back draws. Again, we've been here. There was the building blocks, a lot of good defensive work. Not something we've been able to say an awful lot this season. Let's see what we can do against that hurting Edinburgh side, obviously after your own victory against them. And Saturday was huge. It was played like a cup final, quite frankly, Paul. The players came out, they played with a real purpose from kickoff. And from an encouraging point of view, from a Clyde fan perspective, we looked like we were going to blow them away in that first half. Like, the only disappointment, and I said this in a live stream, the only disappointment was that it wasn't 2-0 minimum at half time.
Yeah.
Because Edinburgh were not in the game. Slightly contentious, their goal. But I'm being picky here. We won a game of football. I should still be dancing about in the house. But it was one of those ones where you thought, given the position we're in, that's the type of goal that ends up putting us 10th. You're not going to be happy about it. But the boys actually responded well to it, very well. And too often this season, one goal spells a second for us, normally quickly after. And it never came to be. We put our foot down again and we went for it and thoroughly deserved the victory. Wasn't without scary, well, one scary moment. Edinburgh had a massive, massive chance in the second half, and Ryan Mullins made an absolute world-class save, like a prime man, Bill Neuer, one-on-one, spreads himself and somehow flicks an arm up at the last minute. It was a brilliant save. But it meant that we got our just rewards, and I'm sitting thinking, 5 points from nine, that's magic. When you look at the table, it's those 5 points in the last three games that has given us, dare I say it, breathing space ahead of Saturday.
Yeah, and we know the permutations. I'm sure you guys will be well aware of the permutations. Simply put, if you guys win it, that's it. We're down. You secure ninth. You got a second chance. You mentioned their cup final it felt like a cup final for your last game. It certainly does feel as though Saturday's game will be a cup final for both sides.
Oh, absolutely, Colin. And it's strange though, because it's probably a cup final we can now afford to draw.
Yes, yeah, that's the difference.
At the same time, I would like to add a caveat to that, because I don't want that held against me. Should we draw and then still somehow in 10th? I don't think it's as clear cut because of their last two fixtures. They are very difficult, albeit with teams that don't necessarily have anything to play for now. But we're still facing Dunfermline away from home on Trophy Day. I doubt they'll be in the mood for any party poopers turning up East End Park. And then we've got Montrose at home now. Montrose are a bit of a bogey team for ourselves. We just don't seem to be able to get the better of them. And they'll be looking to end the season on a high, which has been probably a slightly underwhelming season for them.
Yeah.
Not making the playoffs again. If it was to go Pete Pong from a Clyde perspective, and it goes down to 2 points, it's very much game back on again. It really is. I think when you compare the last two rounds of fixtures, not to put the onus back on the platoon, but I think it's a slightly more favourable set of fixture lists. You've got Celtic who are goal shy in the extreme at the moment. And then you're playing Falkirk, who will have one eye on the playoffs and also a Scottish Cup semi-final, if not already played by that point. I don't quite remember when that's due to be played. So if I was to hand-pick the games, I would rather we were facing yours, regardless of the result on Saturday.
But from a Peterhead perspective, and we've mentioned that you've got the points on the board, and that's the difference. We'd much rather be in your position. So who do you think that the pressure is on? Who's you think's going to feel it more come 3 o'clock on Saturday?
I would say at this stage, knowing that we can afford to draw two games and be safe effectively because of the goal difference,
yeah.
I think the pressure is maybe off Peterhead a wee bit, because I don't think, even though our record at Balmer is awful, and every time I've been on with you and spoke to you, any time in the future it'll be, we still haven't won there. But I think, given the, obviously desperation, but given the current situation, Peterhead are on, they've got not much left to lose. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting an absolute avalanche from kickoff. It's going to be, we're going to be pinned in. May not be pretty football, certainly going by the last meetings between the sides, not one for the purist, but I reckon we'll be pinned in early doors. You'll be looking to get up ahead. So I think the pressure might be slightly off Peterhead somewhat. We still need to go over the line. That's the biggest thing. And can the boys handle it? I'm hoping they certainly can.
Should you leave Balmour on Saturday with no points, and obviously that gap gets cut to two, does the pressure then get ramped up a little bit
100%.
More? But knowing that perhaps maybe just 1 point would be enough in the last two games?
Well, it's a tough one, because I think if it goes to 2 points, I wouldn't be comfortable thinking 1 point from Dunfermline Montrose, because it's football, you just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you really don't know. Nobody would have gave us a chance in hell of being undefeated in our last three fixtures, considering we hadn't won since the 18th of February, 7 games. So I would be then saying we still need to win one of those two last games, which would obviously then guarantee, you would hope, guarantee it. But there's no guarantees in football. That's the, I hate it. And I love it in equal measure. It's hated that it's affected me so much at the moment. I would much rather that we did put it to bed on Saturday. I know that won't go down well with your listeners, but it would mean that we can maybe work on a few things for the last two games. Takes the pressure off. Nobody expects us to get anything from Eastern Park anyway. But we can go up there, maybe rest some legs, whatever. If we were trying, or if we were forced to get something from our last two games, you're looking at the last game of the season. So it's going to be then, I don't even think I'll watch the football, I'll be glued to what's going on with your game against Falkirk. It's set up quite nicely. Even at this stage, it'll be the third last game. Any result can just make, well, it's two results in particular. If we win, obviously the game's over, but if we were not to win, it's still not done yet, and I think there's still a lot to play for, and I'm assuming that's what Brown etc would be saying to his charges. If you don't lose, you're still well within a shot.
Yeah. How are you going to be, are you one of these kind of guys that will be really looking forward to the build up this week, or will you be absolutely petrified bricking it? How are you going to be between now and Saturday?
Well, to be honest, I've been buzzing for most of my weekend, post 5 o'clock and Saturday. And then I woke up this morning and I got a notification on my phone, and it's like through the Instagram Volunteers app that we've got at the club. It says you've got one fixture this week versus Peterhead. And I was like, oh God, here we go. That was it. All good feeling gone. So yeah, it feels... like a big game. I know it's a big game, but it feels like the build-up to even the promotion playoffs back in the day. It's got that kind of feeling about it. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm really not. It's the drive-up as well, Colin. It's just going to be me and my daughter driving up this weekend. And I'm actually glad that I've got somebody with me, because she can at least keep me focused and keep the car on the road and no panicking.
And at least if you're driving, you can just sort of make a quick sharp exit if you need to as well.
I'm hoping I'm not, but aye, if history is anything to go by, I'll be wandering behind the goals 85th minute, so I'm ready to make a beeline.
Tail between your legs, so I was making sure nobody sees you.
Bring a hat so you can't wave to me either.
Paul, good to have you on again. Good to always talk to you throughout the season. Hopefully, at some point, we won't be in the same league as each other, as it seems to be a repetitive thing. Hopefully, we will, obviously, one of us, if not, will be two of us, will be in League Two by the looks of it. Maybe by the end of the season, but pleasure to have you on this season. Good talking to you, and hopefully I'll wish you well. But obviously after Saturday,
yes, it's a tough one. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but I can't wish you well on Saturday. Can't. I'm great enough, and it's just it'll be what be. I suppose football's not the be all and end all in life, but. It does make life a wee bit more enjoyable when you're winning games.
We're both sitting here saying nice things to each other, but through gritted teeth.
Oh, I would like to say I would catch up with you ahead of Saturday either, but I don't even think I've got the Clyde fans ahead of kickoff, let alone anybody ahead. But I'm just being blinkered. I think that's what I'll need. I'll be like a horse, the national blinkers on, and just focused in. I'm not the. I don't deal well with nerves, and I probably shouldn't have became a Clyde fan then, to be honest.
That's probably the wrong sport for you then, isn't it?
Aye, the wrong sport, wrong team, wrong sport, everything. It's one of my many life decisions I regret.
Right, well, on that great note, I wish you wish you well for the rest of the season. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll maybe speak to you next season.
Cheers, Colin.
That is it for this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Paul Shanks from the Clyde FC podcast for joining me, and for Martin Smith for his thoughts. Thank you everyone for listening, and for your questions and comments. Please keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.